Praise the Lord. He's a wonderful God. Well, I'd like to go over some scriptures today that I'm reticent to share, meaning that I've tried to avoid these scriptures because it doesn't always do well to me personally. But the Lord has been recently drawing me out of myself and into his love and mercy, loving kindness. And he says, this is part of who you are in me, and you need to embrace it.
I said, okay, Lord.
And you need to teach it. I said, okay, all right. So it's going to be good. You're smiling already. That's from Matthew chapter 10. And the first few verses are when Jesus selects and names the apostles. But these scriptures that follow are not just for the apostles, but they're for us today. Yeah, why do you say yes? Because you know it's true. Yeah. And what does he do? What are the first? He teaches them. They're with him and they follow him and they see what he's doing. But then he gives them instructions. And these are the instructions he gives them, the same instructions that he gives us today. Because it's a strange world out there. You believe that? All right, so before I share this, I want to give you not my testimony, but I want you to give somebody else's testimony. And I'm speaking as someone who actually has some familiarity with this person called Maria von Trapp. Maria von Trapp, as you know, they had a movie made after her life, Sound of Music. Can you remember some of the scenes twirling around in the mountain meadows and carrying her guitar? Well, those are very real things in her life. And if you read her book, her testimony, Maria von Trapp, A Testimony, it's a powerful book. It's not Rodgers and Hammerstein. It's reality of what she went through. And I had some personal knowledge as well. When I was in school, both of my roommates knew her. My first roommate, Norman, used to work with her every summer as her lackey, so to speak. My plants need water. Those geraniums need more water on the second floor of the balcony, so you need to do this. And he'd be the one to do that. The other one was a professor's son who lived down in the village of Stowe, and they knew her pretty well from going to the Catholic Church there. And he wouldn't say kind things. She wasn't a normal do-gooder person, although her story is something very powerful, and that's why I wanted to share it with you this morning. Because there were two things going on after the crash of the Wall Street crash in 1929. Everything went crazy, right? Everybody was poor, not just somebody. They were all poor. They didn't know what to do. And so they had problems with keeping up, and they were looking for blame, just like today. If the Wall Street crashed, you can be sure that people be looking for who to blame. It would probably be the Democrats. But whether that's true or not, it's a different story. But Hitler had an idea of who to blame, didn't he? He blamed the Jewish people. Now, the problem was in those days in Europe, the Jews were not allowed to own land. So what did they, when they accumulated wealth, they didn't accumulate land, they accumulated money. And they lent money to different people. And that's how they became known as the lenders, right? So they were an easy target for Adolf Hitler. And he says, you want to blame somebody? Blame them. They have all the money and they're supposed to be in control. And they don't have the first clue of how to deal with that. Thanks, Tim. So there's plenty of blame going around on all sides. Hitler's answer to this was to bring forth what they called Hitler's Youth. All right, I need your attention, okay? Forget what's going on over there. So he encouraged a new movement called the Hitler's Youth, the SS. But it was like everything that was going on in our Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, that's what he was doing. But it was a different doctrine. It wasn't freedom. It was like, let's submit and let's have this authoritarian rule, and it will show you how wonderful the Aryan race is. And so that's what he did, and that's what he was purporting. The country right next to him, which should have followed suit, did not. That's Austria. Austria was a patriarchal society, mostly Catholic, whereas the country of Germany, not fully a country yet, but soon to be, well, Austria was much more concerned about what was going on in the hearts of the people and in the church especially. Maria von Trapp enters the scene. There's no mention of her mother and father. I don't know what was the story. Obviously was one. She had a mother and father. That has to be. But her story begins in the nunnery. So she somehow got there, but she would be in charge of the young people's meetings, in which she would play the guitar and sing worship songs to the Lord. She wasn't the only one. All through Austria, this was happening. It was a renewal of faith. It wasn't Hitler's youth. It wasn't Austria's youth. It wasn't a national thing. We need to stand up for Austria, and that's what the movie kind of goes up and portrays. But that wasn't it. They were having a revival in the church amongst the Catholics, heaven forbid. And amongst them, they were worshiping the Lord. And she was one that was purporting and encouraging that with her guitar. So she was out there singing in the meadows. She was there, you know, what does God have for us today? And the thing about her having problems in the nunnery was exactly true. She didn't fit in. Can you imagine? Why would she? She wanted to have a relationship with God, and most of the church wanted to have just a formal service, wanted to have things under control, wanted to, you know, have all the vestments and all of the stuff that goes with the church in those days. And she wasn't about that. That's why they said it. She's always late for chapel. Where was she? She was worshiping the Lord somewhere. Likely true. And so she came out of that background, and they said, we got to do something with this girl. So I signed her to Captain von Trapp. And so what did they have? Well, she have 9 kids? 7? 7, I think, yeah. I don't know. But a lot of kids he had from his former wife. It doesn't say too much about her either. But she started not just to sing, but to bring them all to the Lord. And to this day, they all know the Lord. And their grandchildren know the Lord. When we go up to the Trapp Family Lodge, that's the first thing you get is, you know, this isn't just a normal family, Vermont family. They love God. And they'll let you know about it. And they said, first thing they want to say is, welcome, come in, be a part of our family. Now, in Vermont, it's a whole different story. Vermont has their own set of rules, too, just like the church does. Just like New York does. Anyway, she wanted to build a building where she could house students that wanted to come and learn how to play the music that she was teaching them. And, oh, heaven forbid, the toilet was 2 inches shorter, closer to the wall than the code of Vermont said that it could be. So they said, you have to shut this down or we're going to put you in jail. Maria von Trapp spent 3.5 months in jail. And she didn't change her mind. Finally, Waterbury, Vermont says, okay, give her what she wants. We'll make an exception. And so they did. There's a different spirit in her than what's in the world. And that God is calling us to have a different spirit than what's in the world, too. Do you believe that? Oh, this is his word to you, then. Jesus said in verse 5, these 12 he sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. The way everybody else is going, that's not for you. Do not enter the city of Samaritans, although he did, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel, that is, to the Jews. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. It's the same word. The kingdom of heaven is not just out there somewhere. Let's seek it and find it. But it's at hand. It's right here. Grab a hold of it. It's a wonderful thing that we can do that. It's a sacred thing. Let me say it. It's a sacred thing that we can do that. We can grab a hold of the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons. They may not have any idea what they're about to do. Then he says, freely you have received, freely give. So don't hold it back. Don't say, oh, I'll have to wait till I'm ready for this. You got it? Give it away. Because the more you give away, the more he's going to give back to you. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper or your money belts or a bag for your journey that is things, stuff, your cell phone, whatever, or two coats or sandals or staffs. For a worker is worthy of his wages, or worthy of what he has. So you will get, the Lord will show you what's for you. So many people are worried about things, stuff. Am I going to have enough stuff for retirement? How many times I've heard this? How big does my 401k have to be? How much money should I have? And the Lord is saying right off the bat, don't even think about that stuff. Don't even carry it with you. If you have it, so what? It doesn't mean anything to God. Wow. That's opposite of our thinking. Everybody in Congress, Republican and Democrat, would agree that that's true. That you need to have a certain salary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to provide for you. Verse 11. Now, whatever city you town you enter, so you're going to go into places that maybe you don't know. Inquire who is worthy. And who is worthy is can be translated as inquire about who wants to know the Lord. Stay there until you go out. Don't just keep jumping around. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace. You better have some peace with you. If you're going into places where there's no peace, you don't want to have no peace going into no peace. You want to have peace. If you go to Congress, you better have peace going in. But if it's not worthy, there's going to be places that are not worthy. That's important to know. If it's not worthy, I'll just have to grin and bear it. No. Let your peace return to you. Bring it back. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, then you should just depart from that house or city. Shake the dust off your feet, for surely I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city or that house. Persecutions are going to come. Some people have said, God owes me this because I have done right before the Lord. I have given him my tithe. I have given him my faithfulness in the church. Well, persecutions are still coming. Well, wait a minute. That's not part of the contract. Yes, it is. Count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. Verse 16 says, behold, I'm going to send you out and you won't have any trouble. You're going to have a beast like President Trump. No, he doesn't say that at all. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Can I leave now? Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be aware of men. Now, I have to tell you, I never really embraced that scripture until it was too late. And I saw some pretty bad guys out there. And I wish I had been more alert to what Jesus was saying here. There's going to be some people who want to do you harm. They want to do evil to you. Beware of men. Okay, Lord, I repent. I'm aware now. For they will deliver you up to councils, scourge you in their synagogues. They're not going to give you a good report at all. You will be brought before the governors and kings for my sake. We know they literally did. for in our lives, it's a different way. I'm sure Maria went, she went before her nuns and the Mother Superior. They weren't always kind as they were in a movie. For my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, oh, I like this one. Now, this one I could do really well because I didn't like to do my homework. He says, do not worry about how or what you should speak. How and what, that means I've write it down. This is what I'll say. I'll memorize all the scriptures that I need to do. He said, don't do that. For it will be given to you in that hour when it's happening, what you should speak. I know for a fact, that's my testimony. I can tell you, I knew exactly what to say when the time came. It wasn't received all the time. So, yeah, this is going to be the word of God, and they're going to be struck down dead if they don't hear it. No, sometimes it wasn't received at all, but it was the word of God. Or if it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Look, it's not you who speak, it's the Spirit of the Father in you. That's you guys. Wow, that's pretty powerful. I don't think there's anything more powerful than that. That's the Spirit of love and mercy, loving kindness, but also judgment, righteous judgment. There'll be times when you have to do that. Verse 21. Now, this is interesting. Most of the what we and people in this congregation have fallen in this trap. Maybe we didn't do it as we should have. It says, now brother will deliver brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents, cause them to be put to death. This is why I avoided these scriptures. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Well, there's talking about the group of them. But there's going to be hate and evil out there against us as a church, but you individually, even your children. Did you catch that part? Oh, I can't even believe that. You wouldn't let that happen, would you, God? Well, he's asking for you for something, and we'll see. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher. So this is what you're inheriting in God. So you're not above his teacher. They weren't and you aren't, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If you have called the master of the house Beelzebub, demonic, how much more will they call those of his household, you? Therefore, don't fear them. Don't fear them. Oh, Islam's coming. They want you dead. They'd like to close this church down for sure. They would like to close me down for sure if they heard some of the things that I've said about Islam. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. There's something that's going to happen in this time, in this hour, just as has happened in Maria von Trapp's time, where she didn't stay with Austria and her family with Austria. After she brought them to the Lord, she brought them over to the United States of America, where there was one word that was more powerful than any other, and that was freedom. Not oppression, freedom. Verse 27. This is powerful. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. In other words, in the secret. And what you hear in the ear, preach it to the housetops. You know, there's going to be time for you now to shout it so that everybody can hear it. It's not going to be hidden away. And the gospel, isn't that what's happening today? The gospel is no longer hidden away. We were told in the Veterans Administration, you don't parade your religion around. You can't have a cross or a Bible on your desk. Now you can. Praise God. Do not fear those who will kill your body, but cannot kill your soul. Yeah. Nobody can take this away. Born in my mother's womb, my soul has been, but known by you from the very beginning of all things. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So he is not pulling any punches here. Those that do wrong and evil are going to the bad place. And he said it, you're going to hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father's will, and that he doesn't know about it. And the very hairs of your head are numbered. You don't even know how many hairs are there. They're falling out, by the way. Do not fear, therefore, because you're more valuable than the sparrows. And certainly one hair. Yeah. Thank you, God. I'm glad he said that. He's saying his value of you is sacred too. You value his love as being sacred, and he values your love as being sacred. Don't hide it away anymore. In the past, you did, but not now. And then he says, okay, this is going to be an open confession. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. That'd be a good time to confess my name. Oh, yeah, I know Peter. Come on over here. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So that talks about the throne of judgment of Christ going to the throne of judgment of the Father. And I don't want to go to the judgment throne of the Father until I have been to the judgment of Christ. And his judgment is based on my love relationship with him and his love relationship with me, which I cherish. You ever watch TV and say, what's the point? Yeah, well, what is the point? Because more important than any of the murder mysteries is the Lord Jesus. More important than any entertainment you might know is our Lord Jesus Christ. Maria went out in the fields and the mountain meadows because she knew that's where she could find the Lord. There's a scripture back there. I know from where my help comes, from the hills, and the Lord is going to, I'm going to find the Lord there. That's from Proverbs, I think, right? Is it Proverbs? Joyce Radcliffe put that up there. Because she knew, just like Maria did, there's a place to find God. We even sang that song, that still quiet place. Isn't going to be a place necessarily where it's a conference and everybody is so excited that they're going to find God today and have a great preacher. Well, maybe it won't be that way. You find the Lord anywhere you want to find him. Is that true? It has to come from your heart, from your soul. And here's the problem we have. We love our family. We love our father and mother. I do. I didn't love my father very much, actually, but I learned to love him. And our brothers and sisters, our wife, our children are precious to us. So how can you do this, Lord? Because he says this, do not think that everything's going to be nice for you. Don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So that love affair that you have with Christ is going to be so powerful that it's going to be different than the love you have for your children and your mom and dad. It's going to be so different that you won't be afraid to confront them to know the love of God. And they say, I don't want to hear this gospel you're teaching us, forcing us down our throats. And they say, well, I don't care if you like it or not. This is for you. This is the love of God, the most important thing in the world. Now, my two, my grandchild, Daphne and her friend Molly, have moved back in with us. And we made a rule. You're going to be living in my home. You have to go to church once a week. Otherwise, you're going to find another place to live. It's too expensive. So anyway, Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace. So if you think it's going to be all wonderful, lovey-dovey family stuff, maybe not. And he says it directly. He says, I've come to set a man against his father. Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. A daughter against her mother. Oh, well, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. There's like no exemptions here. A man's enemies will be of its own household. Oh, Lord, why would you say that? Because it's true. These are the trials we have to go through. These are the trials each one of us and our families have to go through. When should I say something? Well, say it today. And keep saying it. Shout it from the housetops. I love the Lord. And there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Not even my love for my children. Wow. Those are hard words to say. Even harder to do. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's what he's saying. That love relationship we have is so sacred, so powerful. He's not giving it up, even to your children. And some of you don't like this teaching already. I didn't teach this. All right? You can blame God if you want. I wouldn't if I were you. Because he'll make a way. And God's ways, turns out, are always better than ours. We may have a plan. You know, I'll make a Thanksgiving dinner that they cannot refuse God. Well, that's probably not God anyway. And Jesus says, and he who loves sons and daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross, the things that he has to do, follow after me, is not worthy of me. So there's things you're going to have to do in your life and your career that you will lose it. And he says, he who finds his life is going to lose it anyway. And he who loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. Oh, yes, Lord. Now, here's the best part and the final thing that Jesus says to his disciples and to us. He says in verse 40, there's something else I have for you. Thankfully, can we get away from our sons and daughters for a while? I don't even know how to do that, Lord. He says, yeah, I know. But I do. Holy Spirit within me that I've given to you knows how to do it too. See, the mercy and the loving kindness of God is more powerful than we think it is. Amen? He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Wow. This is really powerful. It's about our relationship with God, but also his manifestation in our life. He is now going to be one with us. It says that in John over and over again. He who receives a prophet in the name of prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now he's talking about you who he's sending out. And sometimes you will have a prophecy in your prayer. Sometimes you'll have a prophetic word in what you're sharing. You don't even see it. I've seen that happen a lot. People say, I haven't been baptized in the Spirit yet. Being baptized in the Spirit is when there's a manifestation of one of the gifts of the Spirit. And prophecy is one of the most powerful. And I heard people pray the prophetic prayer. And so I haven't received the baptism of the Spirit. Oh, sister, yes, you have already. You don't even know it. And later on, they begin to speak in tongues. But it was like, that's not it. It was about what God is doing in you. That's his manifestation in you. You can't contain it. That's what baptism means. You get wet all over with the Spirit of God. Just like water baptism. You come out of the water, you're wet. And you know you're wet. You know now you belong to him. Verse 41, second half. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. So there's something in the words that you're going to speak that's going to bring about the power of the kingdom of heaven on the earth like never before. How do you think Charlie Kirk could stand up to some of the evil people that he was talking to? Because he read that verse. Whoever gives one of these... Oh, I love this verse. I have it underlined in my Bible and in my computer. Whoever gives one of these little ones... Now, what's a little one? Ones who are frail. They're just coming into the things of God. Their heart is still open. They're still innocent to some degree to hear the gospel of the kingdom. And that's a very fragile place to be, because the enemy knows that too. The evil one wants to take him away. Why do you think he's killing all of our children? He doesn't need an army to kill our children. We kill them ourselves. How many suicides and family killings have we seen lately on the news? It's pathetic, but it's also evil. And it has an origin from the father of lies. And we need to come against it. And so when I hear about it, I pray against it. And I ask the Lord to cover us with his mercy and grace. But this is what the Lord says. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. A cup of cold water, that cold water is a type of the everlasting well of salvation, a type of the water that he wants to freely give us to drink in. You can have orange juice, you know, Coca-Cola, coffee, all you want. But when you drink a cup of cold water and you've been hiking all day, there is no substitute for a cup of cold water, pure water. And the Lord's love toward us is pure, with no hate, no animosity. He doesn't want our children to die. But he wants to get the point across strongly that we're not to back away from his love when it comes to ministering to our children and to our mom and dad. Go ahead, do it. How do you think that the gospel of Christ was able to infiltrate the whole Roman Empire and go as far as it did unless people actually did this? They for sure did. But they also for sure knew the love of God, as we do today. One thing I know when I go to home group, when I come in here on Sunday mornings, and when I come here on Fridays, whenever we join together, even when I greet you one-on-one, there's a koinonia that exists. There's something in the spirit that leaps in my heart saying, there's something alive here. When did that happen first? Probably in Elizabeth's womb, when John the Baptist was still a fetus. It says it kicked her. So there's something out there. It's alive. First revelation of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, Father, we ask you today. I don't know how to do this. Come against the world. Go through persecutions. Not just persecution. Evil and evil intent. The enemy just doesn't bring chaos. He has evil intent behind nations, behind strategies. There's evil intent. Lord, we come against it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we shout it from the housetops. If they want to come in and arrest me, so be it. We come against the evil schemes of Islam. We come against all of the things that are substitutes that are not good for us. Lord God, we worship a God of loving kindness and truth that gives us the freedom that we have in our country today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.